Hello friends, we are studying this subject of customer-centric organization. We are on chapter 13, which is on leading through the management process towards customer centricity. This is the last chapter, and this chapter dwells upon various ways one can lead and make the customer, the organization customer-centric. So there are various perspectives to that. So let's set the objective for our learning. Different tenets of customer-centric approaches in business are leading strategic changes. How do you lead the change? More power to the customer, a customer-centric process. You empower customers and do things as expected by them. Various imperatives for business leaders. So what does it mean to the leaders of such organizations? The change management linked to customer centricity. We have earlier learned basics of change management, how it is linked to the customer centricity, leading and governing the customer centric organizations, how do you manage, and managing change towards better customer centricity. So with that, let's begin. Essentially, to be successfully navigating this change management, it's essentially from inside out, inside this thing to outside in organization, it's a change management. Now, this journey needs to be managed, navigated well, and therefore it has require a sound framework and processes to be looked at. The framework which we talk about is identifying an appropriate course of action that will minimize, framework that you use should minimize the risk that you take and maximize for you the chances of your success. So the selection of a framework is also very critical. Change management. So, definition of what is change management? Change management is the formal process for organizational change, including a systematic approach and application of knowledge. It's a formal process. You cannot have change management in part, or you cannot have change management in quiet. It's a formal process. You have to have announcement made. You have to have buy-in from various stakeholders, and then get people along so that your change management happen, including the systematic approach and application of knowledge. So you have to, again, because you are embarking on change, you have to have a systematic framework and application of all the knowledge, past experiences, past incidences to drive your development. Change management means what? So that's what defining and adopting corporate strategies, structures, procedures and technologies. All in one, this one point, but covers a lot of things. Not only your corporate strategy has to get realigned or reset, the corporate structure, the way your organization was earlier vis-a-vis way your organization is to be outside in ready. Procedures, the process and procedures of doing business has to be completely thought through, and technology integration may need overhaul. To deal with change stemming from internal and external conditions. So you have to simultaneously deal with the change that will emerge. When you adopt to this change, there will be again something which will come from internal as well as external conditions that will make either your change management conducive or may create hurdles. You have to still manage them, leading to the ultimate goal of improving customer centricity. You must constantly see that, are you eventually becoming customer centric or not? So that's a goal that should drive your change management. That is change management. So to say, there are tenets of customer centric approach to business. So there are five tenets. Business exists for customers. It's all about people. Not all customers are equal. Business are systems that deliver value and the need for progressive improvements. I will briefly touch base on this because subsequent slides are on a different subject. Tenet one, business exists for customers. First and foremost, the change in mindset requires is, it is not that customer exists to buy your product or service. It is that you exist for customers. So you have to align, first of all, this mindset. With this mindset, your ability to look at customers, your ability to bring customers in the center of everything that you do, right from need assessment to concept testing to product testing, etc. Everywhere, the process development, the whole front end back end tie up and various such aspects are only possible when you believe firmly that business exists for customers. So it's a mindset change that is required. And that is very important in it. It's all about people. The success of becoming outside in or a customer centric organization without contribution for the employee or the people is impossible to think through. It's people who will make or break it, because overall, in your pursuit to become very, very service centric, you will have to empower your front line. Empowerment will not come without having a front line committed to you. The commitment will not come without your putting in various support services for your employee, okay, which could be automation, which could be complete overhaul of the process, etc. So various things, everything factors around their capabilities. You have to constantly work to get their capabilities improved. Soft skill, behavioral skills, functional skills, everything. So you have to factor your success of being an outside in organizations only with the people in the center mind. So that's, it's all about people. Not all customers are equal. Again, I have earlier also said repeatedly, customer centric organization is not done to serve all the customers. Pareto rule bolo or ABC rule, whatever you say, it's to identify the profitable segment and then create a relationship and loyalty bond so that you can leverage customers' lifetime value. You can extract more share of wallet. So that's what one has to work out. And therefore, you have to determine the profitable part of the customer data that you have to deal with, or those who are buying may not be marginally, may not be very high profitable item, but marginal profitable item, and try to see that they become, they increasingly buy high profitable item. You definitely are not going to work with those customers who lead or erode your profitability. So that's the third tenet. Businesses are systems that deliver value. As I said, the power of becoming customer centric is on what value that you offer at the end to the customer. Now that value should be self-propelling, self-pulling. Customer should see the perception, they should see the value in that you offer, the perception of utility in that, and therefore they do not question your price that you charge them, so you are able to recover value. So everything is around deliver value. So after they pay you for that, you have to also ensure that you deliver, and you deliver not once, twice, consistently every time when they deal with you. The need for progressive improvement. Now flexibility, agility, etc. What you said earlier, we referred when we spoke about outside in approach to organization, the customer centric organization. It means outside dynamics are continuously changing, customers are continuously changing, their behavioral aspects are changing, their exposures are changing, they are getting exposure to multiple touch points. So how can you be static? So you have to also have your organizations aligned to become progressive. Improvements are part of routine of your organization. So these are the tenets that we have understood, five tenets I have explained you. Leading strategic change for a customer-centric organizations. How do you lead the change to make your organization customer-centric? So few pointers for that. Culture is the glue that holds the complex organizations together. Organization must have a strong culture. Culture of innovation is, say, like Apple. Culture of ethical value-based transactions, say, like many automotive companies, etc., that work on that. Culture of creativity. Of in communication, say Ogilvy and Mather and some of those leading advertising agency. You have to have set culture, freedom to express, okay. So that's also is a cultural this thing that you have to imbibe, convey, allow, etc. So that's a glue that binds the organization together. Culture inspires loyalty in employee. So when employee sees that there are certain type of culture which he wants to thrive in, and therefore you will get a loyalty also from them, makes them want to be part of your team. That's another benefit. Now when they think that, it motivates people to do right thing, not just easy thing. So such an motivated employee will also counter question that, is he doing right thing, instead of easy way out. So that's the power of strong culture. at companies with winning culture, the companies that is always driven, there is a culture of winning everywhere, every time, people not only know what they should do, they go beyond job description, role descriptions, definitions. They know why they should do it, and they are clear about what is their contribution, why is he doing that. So therefore, they are doing it in different manner. They will always think of how to do this thing better. The strongest culture binds the people together across both hierarchy and geography. So if there is a strong culture, it breaks the hierarchical taboo. Okay, it allows people to thrive, unify, and that unification is possible even across the geography, guiding them to make the right decisions and advance the business. So decision making power improves during the very strong culturally driven organization. So culture is one very important aspect of leading change. So you have to first look at whether you are culturally sound, aligned with the becoming outside in organization. Sustainable cultural transformation requires that the change is all inclusive. Cultural transformation also, if you have to bring, see to it that it is not top down or bottom up, etc. It is all inclusive. So various stakeholders come in together. Hence, while you visualize your cultural transformation, hence for such a cultural transformation to happen, top management, departments and employees must be all aligned to the one goal, or the goals that organization set, the values that the organization wants to develop and cherish, and strategy of the company. What are the strategical perspective that a company has put before them, and each employee needs to have a clear line of sight to the customer. They should know what they contribute in making customer experience memorable. Law Jessner has defined, the former chairman of IBM puts it, culture isn't just one aspect of the game, it is the game. So such a powerful statement. It is not one of the aspect of leading the cultural customer-centric organization. It is the game in itself, which needs to be played with total dedicated commitment, using best of your skills to win it at the end. So this is one framework that is put before you. I would like to briefly explain it to you. So organization which is culture-centric, customer-centric culture, that's the primary aspect of it. How do they go about? They first map customer journey and life cycle. They map customer journey and life cycle. Customer movement is tracked over a period before he engages with you, makes a relationship with you, and creates a loyalty with you. Refine. They constantly look at their operating model to enable customer centricity. Anything which is redundant is removed. Anything that needs to be improved is improved, etc. All from the viewpoint of your customer centricity. Align. Technologies and processes to support and drive customer engagement. So you align, you bring new technologies, you make process very agile, which is all to create an engagement and experience for the customer. You engage better with the customers. All levels, executives and leadership level, should be allowed to engage with the customer, or should be part of their routine to engage with the customer, so that they understand them better. Focus. Development around target areas and behavioral change. So you have to focus on behavioral change that is required and areas that needs critical change, etc. Integrate disparate business unit cultures. So you try to integrate various culture unit might you have, or a business unit you might have, but they should get integrated with the one thread of cultural bonding. Transform culture top to bottom. You have to see that the culture, this thing is not merely thrust upon a specific level, essentially the front end or the lower level. It should infuse transformation across all the level. Measure change using various key matrices. You should see that how you measure your transformation. Incorporate customer feedback into process and behavior. So you have to constantly listen for what? To incorporate certain changes that is required in your way of operation. So we have understood what you say, customer centric culture, how cultural is important is we have understood, and what this customer centric culture means, how do you go about starting from mapping to incorporate. So moving further, 5 attributes of a customer centric culture. We have understood 5 tenets earlier. These are the key attributes. Okay. A sense of purpose and passion. When your culture has to become customer centric, it should offer a sense of purpose and passion. It is not about transaction, but about building relationship that exceeds expectation and being passionate about it. So people around or within the organization should know the sense and the purpose and the passion for which you are doing the shift, etc. It's all about not single transaction. It's about building relationship and building lifelong relationship. Buy-in at all levels are critical. The most successful companies regularly rejuvenate themselves with team training and staff development that keeps everyone on the customer-centric track. To get that buy-in, you have to create an opportunity to engage and thrive and exchange. And company achieve this in various ways, through learning and development, through gamification of certain activities, etc. So you create that buy-in at all the levels. All levels should see that value in it, them becoming customer-centric. Shared goals and rewards. Most employees respond well to the shared goals and rewards. So when they are clear, this clear line of sight will also give them clarity about their goals. When your team reaches a shared goal, it only makes sense to share the rewards as well. Team making an effort, somebody takes a reward, then that will not be rejuvenating. So shared goals and rewards. The fourth is sincerity and the trust. Trust comes from the deep within the organization, rules and processes and the way it is executed. And when trust is strong, and real, sincere care for customer follows easily. So when within the organization you demonstrate that various things that organization handles with sincerity, and they are transparent, so that creates a trust. And when the people get that feeling, their approach to handling customers gets into the care mode, you know, so they will handle customers appropriately. Long-term commitment. It cannot be a short-term this thing. It is a long-term commitment. Customer-centric culture. It's a long-term commitment. And therefore, all staff must be focused on the big picture of caring for customers and retaining them for the long period of time. So, only when there is a... Because we spoke about relationship, right? We spoke about making customers loyal, making them promoter. So, this cannot be a short-term game. It has to be a long-term perspective in mind. So in this section, we will try to get some perspective about how power available with the customer is compelling organizations to become more customer-centric. Today, customer holds more power. They have a loudspeaker in their hand. So they are very vocal about their experience with a particular brand or the organization. They want them to be understood better. So they are looking for superior product and value for money. Okay, that's every time when they go out to buy, this is what they look for. And if they don't find you offering it, today it is very easy for them to jump. There are various research reports that I have read which shows that the loyalty, this thing is on decline. So people are less and less loyal to a particular brand. They are more oriented towards solution when they want, where they want, in a specific time they want. So that's what one need to really understand. So there are 7 secrets of building a customer-centric company culture. This is overall covered under power to the customers, because company culture will make or break your shift to a customer-centric organization. So first is articulate your central philosophy in just a few words, which is easy to comprehend and understand. They should be meaningful words. Think of the Ritz-Carlton. They have this, you know, this how they have defined their central philosophy. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. In very simple terms, though may you feel laughing at times, but it is they simply say that we are serving various ladies and gentlemen present on our premise, period. No unwarranted beating around. Okay. Elaborate on your central philosophy. So, you have to elaborate your central philosophy with a brief list of core values. So, elaboration is not articulation as such, but brief explanation, but cover the values that will drive your functioning. So, your core value should cover how customers, employees and vendors should be treated at all time. So, what you believe is the way of working, what values will drive your working when it comes to customers, employee and vendors, and many times they are not separate. Company defined core values which is applicable across customer, employee and vendors. So, whoever deals with it, these values are applicable. So, having defined your core philosophy, core values, reinforce your commitment to these values. You know, core values requires a commitment. They are not loosely made statement. Management must demonstrate at every time that they are behind this value. So, annual anything is the enemy of core. So, that's another powerful statement. Annual anything is the enemy of core. So, what this tries to tell you, if you make it certain activity rudimentary, okay, say annual process change, annual, you know, as audit, etc., then they are enemy of the core. In the customer-driven organization, customer-centric organization, flexibility and agility is a buzzword. So, you have to not forget that. So, reinforce your commitment to the values and constantly behind that, make it visual. So, show it so that people also receive it and comprehend. Ritz-Carlton has a credo cards. So, they give it laminated according to fold cards that each employee carries during their work hour. So, they make it very loud. Each employee should carry this. So, he cannot tomorrow say, I have not understood. So, this is what they have been made to understand and carry with them. So, it is like close to their heart, as they say. Make your philosophy the focus of your orientation. Make your philosophy the focus of your entire orientation. So, practice what you preach. So, developing a fantastic vision, mission, developing a fantastic philosophy statement, developing a core values, maybe you back it up, etc. But if it is not a focus of everything that you do, you are not preaching what you are actually talking about. So, it has to be seen in all your actions on ground with customers, with employee, with other stakeholders. So, we are learning the 7 secrets of building a customer-centric company culture. Moving on, train, support, hire, and if necessary, use discipline to enforce what's important to you. Maintaining a culture is like raising a teenager, says Ray Davis, president and CEO of Upnak Bank. Okay, I may be not pronouncing it well, but it's one of the bank. Now, how so well he has said, yeah, it's managing a culture is like raising a teenager. Teenagers wants to break free. Okay, developing a cultural shift is also people wants to break free. You must therefore at every time train, support, hire, and if necessary use discipline to enforce what's important. That is what you do with your teenagers also, teenager son and daughter. Include the wider world, including the world perspective. Your people want to be part of an organization with a sense of purpose. They should know what they do and why they exist in your organization, what is their contribution. So, pizza parties, employee stock option, community footprint, footprint, etc. So, do various things. So, have an inclusive wider world around you so that employees also see the purpose in their life. So, these are those 7 secrets of building a customer-centric company culture. So, that will really reinforce and make a culture an essential DNA of every employee working in your company. Now, this is overall, we continue to understand more power to the customers in that as an ad hoc manner, these 7 points were covered. Moving on, this newly empowered customer base makes for a lot of uncertainty among many companies, which is a past where primarily focus inward. So, this company who suddenly, when they start becoming customer centric, are exposed to what you call customer centric. So they are exposed to new customers, newly empowered customers. They have a loudspeaker in their hand. They use multiple touch points to get their purpose served. The time of uncertainty is also a time of opportunity, as everyone says every time. Consumers will reward companies with their loyalty and recommendation. So, in an uncertain time, if you continue to do good work vis-a-vis delivering on the promise, the value that you have spoken about, customers will become your promoter. They will be loyal. They will not only loyal, they will recommend. So, word of mouth and referrals will come to you. And if that is happening, companies can increase their profitability by balancing their customer needs and expectation with the cost of doing business. Because if the referral and they become promoter, your cost of even acquisitions go down. Cost of retention is always, they say in marketing, is lower than the acquisition cost. So overall, your cost of business goes down and then you make a therefore better profit. Apple computer, you know, competes on the innovation, and its production and delivery functions reflects that strategy. When the company was nearing the launch of its iPhone, it made a last moment decision to switch from plastic screen to the glass screen because leaders thought this would make a big splash in the market. And if efficiency had been Apple's overall strategic priority, it wouldn't have made that last moment change. So you see that how that entire cultural this thing backed up the decision taken by the top management. This is a very important case study. If you can refer the web and get that perspective. But yes, it reveals a lot of things, how Apple functions, you know, how they are committed to their core values, etc. So that's what they believe in, the power of their customers. Therefore, they want to do everything that surpasses the customer expectation. So now we learn new things, which is the 9 imperatives for the leaders. Now, this is about top level managers who drive the change of making an organization outside in or a customer centric. So what are those imperatives for them? Imperative 1 is a perspective. So I will briefly explain. Perspective means they are the one who are responsible for making people see through why you want to be customer centric. They should create that, communicate that perspective very well. So perspective development and giving that or passing on that perspective across various level right till the frontline people is the first imperative that the leader of new age customer centric organization or transiting customer centric organization should have. Focus on results. Customer centricity, as we have always spoken about, will create value and allow you to receive value, and across multi-channel strategy this is. So now in that case, parameter based assessment of result is very critical. So they have to drive the parameters, they have to drive the functioning, but monitor it through the results. So results should speak for itself. Connect with your customers on value. They must go all out to know whether are you connecting the way you are expecting in terms of value that you have created, whether customer is perceiving that as well in the similar manner. Now, this cannot be done through research, or this cannot be done through market research or just an intelligence. Here you have to connect well with your customers. So it probably may require personal engagement. Imperative 4, connect with a purpose and vision that is about people, and people includes say customer. So you have to create a purpose and vision that is about customer. So your organization should know what you stand for when it comes to customer. So that has to be clearly coming out and known to every employee. Imperative 5, know your customer groups and your intent with each group. Know your customer groups. So know your segment well, know their profile, their persona, etc. And your intent with each group. What is it that you intend to do with that group? And what kind of experience you have laid down for them to get received? How are you going to do, etc.? So that is what he has to strive to see, that intent is to deliver an experience that has to come out, but for various groups. As I said, customer centric organization has to definitely decide which group to serve and which group to probably abandon later, etc. That clarity has to be there. So that is the imperative 5. Imperative 6, articulate your value proposition for each customer group. Customer centric organization depends on what value you create, what value you deliver. Now, to deliver this, they should receive and comprehend the way you want. So, therefore, you have to articulate your value proposition for each customer's group very clearly. So, that is what is to be driven by the leader. He has to really make a difference in giving that articulation so that everyone at every level understands in the same way that he has visualized himself. Imperative 7, design the optimal activity to deliver value. So, now that you have created what is your value proposition, how are you going to deliver that to those different customer groups? So, you have to create a complete design, optimal activity. So, you have to create a complete design to deliver that. And imperative 8, improve your delivery of value. As we earlier said, continuous progressive improvement is an order of any customer centric organization, because they have to be always flexible and agile. This point is obvious. You have to constantly improve how you deliver value. So, there has to be a constant and progressive improvement in the manner in which you deliver. This is based on the feedback that you have been receiving from the customer and you are listening to them. It's a reflection that you are listening to them. That listening part enables you to do the root cause analysis and look at how and what improvement is required. And imperative 9, monitor and communicate your progress. Monitor and communicate your progress with all the relevant stakeholders above and below. They should know what have you committed yourself to, whether you have achieved that or not, what are the gaps and how these gaps has to be overcome, etc. So, you have to really communicate progressive journey with all the stakeholders. So, these are those 9 imperatives for leaders of any customer centric organizations or those who are embarking on the journey of being customer centric organization. The change management linked to customer centricity. So, overall we have said that the customer centric organization is nothing but a change management challenge. So, what is the link to its customer centricity? The connection between customer centricity and change management is no coincidence. So, connectivity, that what they are trying to tell you is that the both are hand in hand. They are not mutually exclusive. Companies are changing to focus on building relationship with existing customers. Though customer focused operating model, what it tries to tell you, changing focus in building relationship. As I said earlier also, using ABC or a Pareto analysis, you are going to focus only on those segments which is going to be a profitable, giving you a profitable business by buying your high value items, high profitable items, etc. Now, this you have to do by focusing, bringing the customer focused operating model. There are different operating models. One has to work out for your kind of industry, for your expected value delivery. What perception you are trying to, experience you are trying to deliver, what is an operating model that will be suitable. Done right, they will increase revenue while decreasing the cost and creating sustainable growth. So, that's also a very critical aspect of a change management. When you do your operational model is implemented rightly, while you became a customer centric, it has to bring for you higher revenue, because it is supposed to be a value creation and value absorption model. You create value, customer will need to absorb that value, and therefore he will keep coming to you again and again. But it enables you to decrease your cost of operation, acquisition, retention, etc. And that when happens, the growth will be continuous, the profitability will be better. So, you will have a sustainable growth year on year. Customer centric activities around acquisition. Acquisition is a major challenge. Organization has to every time acquire new customer. Then comes the challenge of retention. Then comes the challenge of handling attrition. You have to prevent as much of attrition. You have to stop relation customer and a loyal customer is going away from you. And the share of customer programs can have a positive impact on revenue and long-term strength. So this activity, right from acquisition to retention to prevention of attrition, if handled well, it will really be a sound impact on your revenue and long-term strength. Customers will remain with you. More customers will remain with you. Thank you.